G-minus 56, Gravesen Hotel, Ankara, Turkey. Jesus, Billy Kendrick uttered through the gaps between his fingers as a shocked hand covered his mouth. Like the rest of the world, he was now gazing in stunned shock at live images of an empty podium where ICA Chairman William Godfrey had been standing just moments earlier. Why now? He wondered to himself. Why take him so publicly when everyone is watching? Did something huge come up? Something that Leisha really couldn't wait to tell him? Or maybe something he was going to say that Leisha couldn't let him talk about? Having been more in the loop about recent events on New Kerguelen and recent discoveries about the architects than even Godfrey, Billy found himself now in the unwelcome position of having no idea what the hell was going on. The chaotic reactions in Buenos Aires, where ordinarily calm national delegates were fleeing for the exits in fear like running children away from a dodgeball, boldly underlined just how universal this feeling of total mystification was. Even the experienced newscasters on ACN and the producers in their earpieces were lost for words, if the stammering commentary over the pictures was anything to go by. Indeed, as helplessly confused as he felt by Godfrey's disappearance, Billy reflected that he at least had some kind of context. As far from a friend as he considered the ICA chairman, Billy was also somewhat glad that Godfrey, like Billy, had experienced a flash-based extraterrestrial abduction before. On that occasion, Leisha had taken Godfrey and Ding Ziyang to New York, where Billy had been in on the table room meeting that resulted in his own trip to New Kerguelen. Being taken in such a truly alien manner could conceivably prompt a trauma-induced heart attack or similarly damaging medical episode in someone unaccustomed to it, both from the mental shock of the phenomena and the scarcely understood physical effects of whatever stress the seemingly physics-defying experience placed on the human body. Godfrey's speech had been set to tackle, among other things, the moderate but growing discontent about the lack of context everyone else had regarding the leaked news that a second shelter had been discovered on New Kerguelen several weeks earlier. That news was always going to leak out, as Emma had told everyone, due to the fact that the whole human crew who had been stationed on the alien world knew all about it and weren't well-versed in the importance of message management or keeping things from even their closest friends and family. As it tended to go with secrets, most crew members told some combination of their spouses, siblings, and parents, who then usually felt safe telling one or two people similarly close to themselves. On and on it went until someone posted the rumor online, and the rest was history. Billy knew this was why Dan and Emma had so strongly impressed upon the small number of their inner circle who knew about Piper's uplift powers that none of them could tell another single soul. Fortunately, that news hadn't leaked out, staying as secret as the harrowing details of what had been learned within the walls of the distant outpost the rest of the world still thought of as an ill-defined second shelter. Amid all the confusion, including that swirling within his own mind, Billy reflected that the two people most likely to know what Leisha was up to, and quite likely where Godfrey was, were unquestionably Dan and Tara. They were in Buenos Aires too, or at least so he thought, and if something had come up, it was likely they would have been told at least as soon as Godfrey. Unlike certain others, Billy had no ego in relation to when information reached him, greatly appreciating how fortunate he was to be friends with globally revered figures like Dan McCarthy and Timo Fiori, and having no illusions that there was any reason for the messengers to see him on the same level as a McCarthy or Godfrey. This didn't make him any less desperate to know, of course. He was only human, after all. And with that in mind, Billy picked up his phone from its position on the desk near his bed and dialed Dan's number. He did so more in hope than expectation, thinking Dan would likely either be frantically trying to react to Godfrey's disappearance or would be somehow connected to it. If Billy had been forced to guess where William Godfrey now was, he would have said at Dan McCarthy's side. Quite why this would be the case, he didn't know. He also didn't know why Ding had been left in the ICA building's conference room, seated right next to President Slater until the flash subsided and both were ushered out by the agency's security team. Neither had petulantly fought to stay in front of the cameras like the publicity-hungry John Cole, but the more Billy thought about Ding, the more mysterious it all seemed. His brain was working on the assumption that either Dan had asked Leisha to stop Godfrey from saying something regrettable, apparently by any means necessary, up to and including a hugely destabilizing public abduction at the last possible second, or that Leisha had acted of his own accord in uniting Godfrey with Dan and Tara to discuss something important. The last time this had happened, immediately after the human crew's return from New Kerguelen, Leisha had brought Ding and Billy into the fold, too. With how things had gone on that occasion, it was difficult for Billy, ego-free or not, to understand why Leisha hadn't reunited the old team again. He would have had no qualms or felt no surprise about being taken to the meeting spot last, but the fact that Ding hadn't been taken at the same time as Godfrey when both were in the same room told Billy that for one reason or another, the small group who had been assembled last time weren't going to be brought together again today. All of this rattled through his head as he listened to the unanswered rings mount up, reaching a count of 8 before he admitted defeat and moved the phone away from his ear. Just as he placed his thumb over the end call button, however, the text displayed in another area of the screen changed. The word waiting, describing the status of his call, suddenly turned into live to indicate that Dan had picked up at last. Hello? Billy began, praying he was actually there. Can you hear me? Are you okay? I'm okay, Dan said. Why? Are you? Is Godfrey? Billy asked. Dan hesitated. I don't actually know. Where are you in Tara right now? Billy asked. We're at home in Birchwood, Dan said. Leisha brought us. It's just us, Emma, Piper, and Clark. Did Leisha just bring you there? Did he take Godfrey somewhere else? We've been here for a while, Dan replied. Leisha brought us back from Buenos Aires, but he's been here the whole time. He didn't take Godfrey. The silence spoke for Billy. Billy, are you in your hotel room? Clark McCarthy's booming but friendly voice asked, announcing his presence with the sudden question. Door locked, windows and curtains closed, no way for anyone to see a flash, because we could send Leisha to get you now so we can all talk. Affirmative, Billy replied. His heart was pounding almost as fast as it had been in the moment and aftermath of his experience of unexpectedly viewing the transcript above Dortlu Tepe, what with the knowledge that Leisha had been in Birchwood while Godfrey was taken, decisively crushing the natural assumption that he had been responsible. Back in Birchwood, Dan turned to Leisha for approval to confirm that this was okay. He got it. Affirmative, he echoed. Confusion had suddenly turned to concern, and Billy wanted nothing more than to get out of his empty hotel room and start making sense of things with the only other people capable of calming his mind. There's actually some major stuff I wanted to talk to you all about anyway, Billy went on. I've found something huge. I didn't really want to call you guys this morning when you were at the ICA, so I tried Emma. She didn't pick up, and I was going to try again once you guys were less busy. It's a transcript, at Dortlu Tepe. I saw it on my computer when I was looking at aerial images. I didn't mean to keep the patch with me, but I found it in my pocket. I know that I shouldn't— Tell us when you get here, Clark interrupted, booming his words into the phone again. Dan was, meanwhile, sharing a confused glance with Leisha, with the two equally intrigued and, in fact, rather bewildered by a piece of news that seemed to make even less sense than everything else they were currently dealing with. Okay, well, I'm in room 401, Billy added. On Cara Gravison. Yeah, I don't exactly think it works like that, Clark said, a hint of amusement creeping into his tone as he leaned in close to the phone next to his younger brother's ear. Leisha knows you, so he knows where you are and doesn't need a door key or anything like that. He'll find you. Billy chuckled, immediately wondering why he'd thought his previous comment to be necessary in the first place. Counting on it, he said. I'll see you all soon.